when the doorbell rings at 3 a.m., 14-year-old Alex Ryder's life shatters forever. Two police officers deliver news that his uncle Ian, who raised him since his parents' death, has been killed in a car accident. The official story claims Ian wasn't wearing a seatbelt, which immediately strikes Alex as suspicious. His uncle was meticulously careful about everything. At the funeral, strange bank colleagues appear, including the emotionless Alan Blunt, who arrives in a Rolls Royce with armed men. Returning home, Alex discovers someone has searched the house and emptied Ian's previously locked office. Unable to accept the official story, Alex investigates on his own. He sneaks into the junkyard where his uncle's car was taken and discovers the BMW riddled with bullet holes, not damaged in a traffic accident. His discovery nearly costs his life when the car is picked up by a crane with him still inside. With seconds to spare, Alex escapes, confronts one of the funeral attendees with a karate kick, and flees on his bicycle as someone fires a shot after him. The truth becomes unavoidable. Ian Ryder was murdered. But why would someone kill a banker? And why go to such lengths to cover it up? After a suspicious call about his uncle's effects, Alex visits the Royal and General Bank in London. The excessive cameras and watchful staff make him uneasy. Left alone, Alex makes a daring move, climbing onto a narrow ledge 15 floors up to reach his uncle's office. There, he discovers files on nerve poisons, assassination techniques, and Stormbreaker, nothing remotely banking-related. Caught and tranquilized, Alex awakens in a country house where Alan Blunt reveals the truth. Royal and General is actually MI6 headquarters. His uncle was a spy, killed while investigating Herod Sale, an Egyptian-born businessman planning to donate advanced computers to every British school. MI6 suspects Sale's motives aren't charitable. Their proposal? Send Alex to Cornwall as Felix Lester, a competition winner testing the Stormbreaker, giving him 3 weeks to investigate what his uncle discovered. When Alex questions using a 14-year-old, Blunt coldly responds, "Why not? You have the skills. You're rather an extraordinary young man." 00 Nothing. That's what SAS soldiers call Alex during his brutal crash course at the Brecon Beacons training camp. Thrown into K unit with four hardened military men who resent him, Alex endures a regimen designed to break grown men. Each day brings new tortures: mud runs with heavy packs, map reading and driving rain, weapons training, and the assault course, which Alex conquers by reducing his time from 25 to 17 minutes through determination. Wolf, K-Unit's hostile leader, targets Alex relentlessly, once deliberately pushing him into a tripwire. Despite this, Alex refuses to report him, earning grudging respect from the unit. The final test comes during a parachute jump when Alex notices Wolf paralyzed with fear. In a split-second decision, Alex kicks Wolf out of the plane, forcing him to complete the jump. This moment transforms their relationship and teaches Alex that sometimes victory comes not from fighting enemies, but understanding them. Port Talon, Cornwall, seems an unlikely place for a high-tech facility. Alex is struck by the contrast between the picturesque fishing village and the imposing Sale Enterprises complex, with its 20-foot razor wire fences, security towers, and warning signs resembling a military installation. Inside, Alex meets Herod Sale, an unusually short man with disturbing eyes, who proudly displays a massive aquarium containing a Portuguese man-of-war jellyfish. "Beautiful, isn't she? She reminds me of myself. We are both outsiders." The comparison unsettles Alex, especially when he learns the jellyfish contains enough poison to kill 30 men. In his uncle's former room, Alex finds his luggage searched and detects a bug behind a painting using spy gadgets. From his window, he notices armed guards patrolling the grounds. The next morning, Alex discovers a hidden triangle of paper in his bed canopy left by his uncle, containing a strange design with a reference number. He scans the document to MI6 using his modified Game Boy, concealing the original in the device's battery compartment. Defying orders, Alex explores Sale Enterprises and finds an unmarked basement staircase. After avoiding Mr. Grinsale's mute, disfigured butler, he discovers an underground passage with a locked door. Using his Game Boy's X-ray function, he glimpses a large, barrel-shaped object before being caught by Nadia Vole, Sale's stern assistant. During a snooker game, Sale bets 100 per point. Alex expertly clears the table, winning 4,000 and revealing Sale's volatile temperament and poor sportsmanship. At 1:30 a.m., Alex investigates a mysterious delivery by hiding in a truck joining a convoy to a beach. There, he witnesses a submarine surface and recognizes Yasin Grigorovich, his uncle's assassin. The crew unloads 40 metallic boxes handled with extreme caution. When a guard accidentally drops one, Yasin executes him without hesitation. The next morning, Nadia suspiciously suggests Alex walk to Port Talon. Leaving, Alex notices Mr. Grin making a suspicious call that triggers his instincts. Alex escapes death when a man hunting him on a quad bike plunges off a cliff edge, an attack likely ordered by Mr. Grin. In Port Talon's library, Alex discovers his uncle had researched computer viruses and local history, particularly Dosmary Mine. Ian's cryptic note, CL475/19, leads Alex to a book containing a map of abandoned mine tunnels matching the diagram his uncle left behind, revealing a hidden corridor beneath Sale Enterprises. After gathering supplies, Alex locates the mine entrance and follows his uncle's path through narrow tunnels until reaching a flooded passage. There, he finds diving equipment left by Ian. Despite his fear, Alex plunges into the freezing water, following a rope through the submerged tunnel. Beyond lies a secret facility beneath Sale Enterprises, where workers in biohazard suits insert silver test tubes into hidden compartments in each Stormbreaker computer. Alex connects everything: Yasin's delivery, the biocontainment zone, and his uncle's research. These are biological weapons being installed in computers destined for every school in England. On Stormbreaker launch day, Alex uncovers Sale's revenge plot, computers loaded with smallpox virus targeting schoolchildren across England. At noon, the Prime Minister, Sale's childhood tormentor, would unknowingly activate it nationwide. Sale leaves Alex suspended above a jellyfish tank, but Alex escapes using Smithers' zit cream to dissolve the tank's rivets, flooding the office. With minutes remaining, Alex spots a departing cargo plane. He steals a jeep, harpoons the plane with his yo-yo during takeoff, and forces the pilot, Mr. Grin, to fly to the Science Museum. Alex crashes through the East Hall's glass roof at noon, shooting the virus-activating mouse from the Prime Minister's hand and wounding Sale, averting catastrophe. Later, Alex discovers his cab driver is a wounded Sale seeking revenge. Before Sale can kill him, Yasin Grigorovich shoots Sale, explaining he had become an embarrassment. As Yasin leaves, he states, "Killing is for grown-ups, and you're still a child." Yet Alex knows his childhood ended when his uncle died. There's no going back.